The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Be wise today, 'tis madness to defer. Next day the fatal precedent will plead thus on till wisdom is pushed out of life. Procrastination is the thief of time. Year after year it steals till all are fled, and to the mercies of a moment leaves the vast concerns of an eternal scene. Well, those words were taken from a 10,000-line poem called Night Thoughts, written by an English writer named Edward Young, who died in 1765. And procrastination is our topic today with Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you say it's not about laziness per se, yes, but why do we do it? We all do it.
Well, I think that's exactly the first point, really, is it's not about laziness. It's not about sort of time management. It's really, we would say, it's about emotion management. When people procrastinate, they're always avoiding something. Unless you have the very, you know, if we're moving out of teenagehood, where we know that there's laziness factors, there's factors of, you know, literally physiological kind of energy factors. But when we move all of those aside and look at adults who are trying very hard to get something done, but find themselves procrastinating, that's really where we're looking today. And it's very prevalent. And it's something that people report to me a lot. And I find myself sort of unfolding it almost like a little jigsaw. You know, what exactly is it that you're avoiding? Because it's as clear as a bell to me and to others that it's about managing your emotions and avoiding some negative feelings that you are, you know, not comfortable with or not aware that are associated with that particular activity.
So it's not the job itself that you're avoiding. It's the feeling that comes with doing that job you want to avoid.
You say
it's known as temporal discounting, this battle between your present self and your future self. I mean, your future self would like to have that job done and your present self doesn't want to do it.
Wants to stay comfortable. In other words, our brains prioritize short-term comfort over long-term reward instinctively. So even though we know we should be doing something, we have, you know, we're very, very drawn to doing the thing that gives us the short-term sort of comfort. Like, as I say, watching Netflix, even though you know that you should be finishing something, you know, even as we're adults, we find that we're struggling with that. You're always correcting that in yourself. So you do have to, there is a little battle, a little constant reprioritizing going on in our systems all of the time and in our brain. And that is why, of course, habit forming helps sometimes to work through these things, because if you build good habits, you help yourself to move quickly to the right point.
Now, to what extent might perfectionism play a role? You know, the idea that if I do this, it's got to be right, and I'm not sure I can get it right, so therefore I'm not going to do it at all.
Yes. Well, perfectionists actually suffer more with procrastination than many others because starting for them and getting started really can feel quite risky, because they have to be sure they have the time to complete the task, to do it perfectly, to get everything done. So in the perfectionist case, it's usually that fear of it not, you know, not being completed perfectly. But in many other environments, like there's so many environments where this shows up, like in school and, you know, in academic settings, in the workplace, when people are doing creative things, there's so many places where this shows up. And it's quite interesting to watch it. Like if you think of it in an academic setting, if you remember trying to get things done, the people who struggle mostly with getting things done in that kind of setting, they don't see the reward quickly. So they have to wait and wait to feel good about what they're doing. That helps with procrastination, if you like. That allows you to push it out even more. And in the workplace, you will see people who are quite, fearful of criticism. So they will be slow to perform, if you like. We often say that in the workplace, it sort of mirrors the home and parental situation, because you have superiors, if you want to put it that way. You have people who are making rules, who are monitoring you, who are judging your performance. So again, those early fears and early templates can come into play very much in the workplace. That can feed into procrastination, that can feed into delaying, not doing, not starting. Let's leave it. We'll leave it till tomorrow, next week even.
There is something that in my professional life I know certainly works, and that is the idea of a deadline. There's nothing like a deadline to get you started.
Nothing like
you, you might put it off and put it off and put it off, and then suddenly it's only a day away. You've got to get it done, and you go do it. And often creativity is boosted in that situation because the intensity is there.
That's right. Well, and what the intensity does, and you're absolutely right, and you've touched on the thing that, that really helps people to move through procrastination, and it is to either have a deadline, to have to have it done. You see, when you have to have it done, you don't actually have the time to let all the other fears and feelings come in. So that you can, you're just focusing on getting it done. That's why we say start in chunks, chunk your time. If you're struggling to get something done, start with 5 minutes. Just say, I'm going to do that for 5 minutes. Set your alarm on your phone, do it and stop and walk away. But what you have done is you have begun and you have, that is, it might be just that you're going to write 3 titles. It might be that you're going to just say, this is how many words I need, or this is the spreadsheet I have to get done. That's enough. You've begun. Put it aside and come back later and do another 5 minutes. That is a way of sort of, it's a bit like tricking your brain and bypassing, bringing in the deadline, if you like, imperative and the intensity, as you put it well, that brings that. And from there, you will find yourself able to kind of get over that whole thing of deferment, feeling, oh, I might be wrong. I'm not going to get this good enough. You know, all of those kind of things, those loaded emotions that can stop you from starting.
There's a thing called imposter syndrome, which we've talked about, I think, you and I before. But the idea that, you know, and you often see it in jobs where someone won't apply for a job because they feel, you know, I couldn't be that manager, I couldn't be that supervisor, I couldn't be this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have the spoofer who'll happily apply for that job, even though underqualified, and will get it.
Yes, that's right. And well, there's a few things around that, isn't there? It's quite well shown, you know, that women are inclined, when they're applying for jobs, they often look at what they don't have, whereas the items that they don't have on the list, whereas, of course, most job specs look for kind of everything. They're giving an impression of what is needed. But there are men are more inclined to look at what they do have. So that's a kind of an interesting gender difference that, you know, it's a hangover, of course, from, you know, centuries of being in that position, that we would be less confident about those kind of things. And not in every case, but on average, we're talking here. So, and then you've got people who have overridden all emotion and have a sense of belief in themselves that is ill-founded. And in many ways, that doesn't help you, because we see that as well. We see that overconfidence. As I say, it's the person who you meet coming out of the exam and they think they did great, but they actually don't know what they were supposed to know. So they don't know what they missed. They think they were great because they could answer the questions, but they didn't realize what it was they were supposed to know to answer those questions. So it is you get both ends of the spectrum here, and the imposter syndrome, which is often then the person who actually is quite well skilled, but who doesn't have the confidence because it has been chipped away a little bit. Yeah. Usually it is the person who has had to doubt their own competence in various things.
Now, sometimes, procrastination, if you delay doing the laundry, you might have to recycle clothes a bit because you haven't washed that shirt or whatever it might be. Or if you haven't vacuumed the house, it'll wait for another day. That's fair enough. But things like health, you know, not going to the doctor, not going to the dentist.
Exactly.
Money.
And don't we know that?
Letting the envelopes pile up on the doormat, knowing they're all bills and never dealing with them.
Yes. The feeling, just people wanting not to deal with the discomfort and the fear of bad news at the doctor, that will keep them away. They will neglect their own health rather than go to it. We know, because why? Because it's emotional, because there is a fear there. And if you can tap into the fear and put a little word on it, you can find yourself able to say, okay, I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it. I try often to say to people, try and put the word choice into it. Even though I am afraid, I choose to do this. And when you do that, you kind of empower yourself, as opposed to feeling, I have to do it. You will hear people kind of paralyze a little bit when they hear the words, I have to do it, or when they echo them in their mind. So it's so much better if you can say, I am afraid of going to the doctor. I actually am afraid there's going to be some bad news on this, but I am choosing to face up to this early because early is best. It's a kind of another way of getting you to, a bit like chunking the time. It's like a little trick to move you one step forward, because when you get one step forward, the next step becomes a lot easier.
Stephanie Regan, a clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Stephanie, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.